bases loaded and one out.
Oh, my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam.
What is going on? Welcome into episode 153 of the Bases Loaded podcast. I'm your host, Mike Kurland. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Kurland. Today, we begin what I'm going to guess called the Daily Dose. I've been trying to toy around with names. That's what stuck. Hopefully you guys like it. But the idea is to do a quick 10 to 15 minute podcast talking about three players a day. We're going to discuss three players per episode with in-depth analysis, thoughts on current production, and the belief, or my belief, I should say, on sustainability or correction of production. Again, about a 10 to 15 minute lesson. A quick background to the idea was I legitimately get frustrated because there's so much to discuss about so many players. So I decided the best way to do it is in short increments, giving you daily in-depth analysis on players that I'm looking at, players you might want more information about, and there's plenty to talk about. So why not do it in short spurts instead of one long episode? And even then, during the long episode, you tend to miss things. So without further ado, let's talk about today's players. We're going to start with Reds' own Eugenio Suarez. He's a guy that I was pretty vocally avoiding in preseason. People didn't necessarily agree with me, but there were trends, and unfortunately, these trends have stuck and have continued into this year for Suarez. He has 3 home runs, 13 runs, 8 RBI, but he's batting just 133, 240, 289 triple slash with a WOBA of 241 and a WRC plus of 49. Not exactly what you're hoping to get out of him. And people might scream, oh, BABIP regression. His BABIP is just 178. And that is true. Last year, his BABIP was 214, also underperformed. He's a career 307 BABIP guy. However, a lot of the BABIP issues can be attributed to his approach. He is very much a pull hitter and a fly ball hitter. And when you do that, typically there's a lot of flyouts, and that leads to a lot lower BABIP. And then you throw the shift into the equation. But we're talking about two straight seasons now. And again, it's early. So this is just taking a look at what's going on right now. We'll talk about what I think about him in terms of long-term. And again, Eugenio Suarez is who I'm speaking about. Suarez's line drive rate is 8.3% right now. That is coming off of a career low 18.2% last year. So that will positively regress. However, Suarez also boasts a 41.7% ground ball rate and a 50% fly ball rate, which 50% fly ball rate is already a bit too high, a bit too extreme, and it's coming off of a year where Suarez hit for 47% fly balls. So obviously he's putting way more balls in the air, and that is going to cause issues, especially when you're pulling the ball 47.9% of the time like Suarez is. That's going to cause a lot of BABIP issues, and that explains why the batting average is staying low, why the BABIP hasn't come around yet. But I assume some of those ground balls and fly balls will turn into line drives, thus allowing some correction in the BABIP and allowing some correction in the batting average. But Suarez is a guy that he has hit 271 and 283 back in 2019 and 2018 respectively, but those might have been outliers or the better years of his batting average, because I don't see a profile here that suggests he can hit better than 250 or 260. If we're that's what I'm hoping for, is a 260 batting average. But the problem is he can, but he, if he doesn't figure out the line drive rate issues and just keeps hitting ground balls and fly balls, not only will that cause issues with the BABIP and the batting average, but he's also having issues with contact. Going back to 2018, every year since, so 2019, 2020, and currently in 2021, Suarez's contact rate has decreased each and every season. This comes with a decrease in overall zone contact rate as well those last 3 years, and his swinging strike rate has spiked upwards each of the last 3 years as well, as high as 15.7% this year in 2021 to start. So we're seeing a guy who's making less contact overall, less contact in the zone, while swinging at more strikes and missing. His whiff rate is up as well. And this comes with Suarez swinging less. So he's swinging less and missing more. That's a terrible combination, because at least if he was swinging more, he'd be more aggressive, which is weird because if you look at his first pitch swing rate, Suarez is swinging at more first pitches than he has since 2018 as well. So he's swinging at more first pitches, but he's swinging less overall. So he's aggressive early on, trying to attack early count pitches, I guess fastballs and whatnot, hoping to get them. But he's not getting as many fastballs. We're talking, again, this is the second straight year now, actually the third straight year of seeing less fastballs, and the third straight year of seeing more breaking pitches and right now, they've also, this pitchers have also attacked him with more off speed. So he's seeing more off speed, more breaking, less fastballs. And he's a guy who has been able to hit fastballs well in the past. In 2018, he hit 312 against fastballs. And since then, in 2019, he hit 314 against fastballs. Pitchers noticed this, they adjusted. Suarez has hit 224 and 159 against fastballs last, so far this year and last year. And right now, 159 against fastballs is significantly underperforming. But when pitchers adjust the way they adjust, they might keep Suarez guessing. Suarez could simply not know what's coming or have a hard time picking up on what's coming. And he's struggled against breaking pitches and off-speed pitches for the most part, each of the last two years. So Suarez is struggling with these pitch mix adjustments. He's not making much contact. He's pulling the ball too much. His ground ball rate is too high. Suarez is a guy that I have my concerns about, and teams shift heavily against him. He's coming off three straight years with at least a 45% shift percentage. And this year, it's right now in his 96 play appearances, he's been shifted against 47.9% of the time. And WOBA on shift, is batting just 195. It's just a 195 WOBA against a shift. No shift, 283. So obviously, if he's being shifted on, it's going to significantly hinder his production. And this showed to be the case last year when they shifted on Suarez 69.6% of the time. And he was able to, his WOBA was about 60 points lower, 65 points lower against the shift than it was against no shift. So again, the shift works against him. His approach allows it to, because he's such a pull ball, fly ball type of guy. So Suarez is a guy that I'm not necessarily buying low unless it's low. This isn't that type of podcast either. I'm not trying to tell you, oh, you should buy, you should sell. The idea is to give you the information at hand, give you my thoughts on it, and let you make your own decisions. And Suarez is a guy that I'm afraid to buy into. I don't think he's going to change who he is. The contact concerns are there. The swing and strike rates concerns are there. Everybody has a price, but I'm not paying even 80 cents on the dollar for what Suarez cost on draft day right now. Until he shows me he can change his ways a little bit, I'm just going to probably avoid him. Or again, depends on what I can buy for. Are we talking buy low like I can't even think of a name right now. Akil Badu isn't even playing that well, so he would be a bad name. But you get my point. It would be somebody you picked up off the waiver wire, somebody who's performing well, that maybe you can go to that, to the manager of Johan Suarez and be like, hey, I got this player. He's playing well. Looks like he's doing pretty good. This guy's struggling. Might be too early to make that move, but some people are, you know, making drastic changes to their lineup. Suarez is a guy that I think could be gotten on the low. Again, everyone has a price, but he's not a guy I'm actively going out and seeking, going out of my way to obtain on and put on my roster. The next guy is a fan favorite, and by fan favorite, I mean a favorite of mine, Keston Hira. He's just looking completely lost at the plate. Batting 152, 263, 242 triple slash on the year with one home run, one stolen base. A little bit of power and speed, yay! But the problem is not enough power or speed to justify even starting him right now. We're seeing the barrel rate down, even though he's still barreling the ball really well, 10.5% of the time. But he's not barreling it as often, so he's losing some of the barrel rate. With it, max exit velocity is also down, but we know the power is not a problem. The problem is he just can't seem to hit. He has so much swing and miss to his game. Hira's a guy that we're talking, what, three straight years of over 30% strikeout rate since entering the major leagues. This is a guy who's only struck out, what, not even over 20% of the time prior to AAA. And in AAA, it looks like the power gains happened along with increasing strikeout rate. So right there was the red flag. He's already kind of selling out for power. Enters the pros. Known for his hit tool, Hira comes in and strikes out 30.7% of the time in his rookie campaign. Overperformed a lot of his underlying metrics, and people have been drafting him high ever since. And now we're looking at a 34.6% strikeout rate in 2020, a 36.8% strikeout rate in 2021. These have both come with two BABIPs in the 200s, one at 273, one at 243. So you know there should be some BABIP correction there. Problem is you got to put balls in play to have BABIP correction. It's a low blow. I get it, but man, Hira just isn't making contact. We're talking another season. We're talking three straight years of being bottom of the barrel, like in terms of contact rate and Z contact rate in the league. He was like bottom three last year. He's bottom three again this year. He might actually be the worst in terms of qualified hitters of contact rate. I got to double check that. But last I looked, he was bottom three again. And even in his rookie year, Hira was the ninth worst among players with at least 300 plate appearances in contact rate. So the contact issues have been a thing since his rookie year, but again, he outperformed his metrics and underlying stats so much, it was covered up. And this is also a guy who swings a good amount of time, you know, 50.2%. He's always been an aggressive swinger. His chase rate's a little above league average, but it's nothing terrible, nothing crazy. But the issue is when you're swinging and you're swinging that much, swinging that freely, and you're not making contact. That's the issue. His O contact rate is 10% below league average right now, and it usually sits about more than that. He's actually improved his O contact. Just to give you an idea, Hira is just really struggling. C contact is over 20% under league average, and his overall contact rate is just shy of 20% below league average. The swing and miss is real, folks. And the swing and strike rate, it's spiked up for the third straight year now. We're talking 17.5% his rookie year. Hira has gone ahead and made it worse in 2020 with a 20.3% swing and strike rate, just to increase it even more at 21.8%. That's just rough. He's just struggling. He can't seem to. Pitchers are still throwing him less fastballs and more breaking balls, and it's working because he hits fastballs well, or at least he did in 2019. Even then, he overperformed against them. He hit 298 in 2019 with a 261 expected batting average against fastballs. Okay, cool. In 2020, he underperformed a little bit against them, but he also overperformed against breaking and off speed. And pitchers see this. Pitchers adjust. They're throwing him less fastballs for going on his third straight year while increasing their breaking ball usage against them. And off speed is staying about the same. But the key there is less fastballs. And it's because he can, again, that's the pitch he gave the best. But they're also, when they are throwing fastballs, they're attacking the top of the zone because he still can't hit the top of the zone. He has a zero batting average across the top of the zone. His expecting batting average is pretty much less than 100 across the top of the zone. He's just not able to get the bat on the ball when the ball is put at the top of the zone, it seems like. His slug, his X slug, his ISO, across the top of the zone, it's all blue. It's Hira can't hit a ball on the top of the zone right now. We know Hira struggles against balls up in the zone, fastballs in particular. So now you pair that with more breaking pitches all over the zone. He's being attacked, and he hasn't adjusted the way pitchers have adjusted to him. So here's a guy that he's been exploited. We know who he is right now. This isn't a long-term outlook. I'm still not out on him in terms of dynasty and in keeper leagues, but in redraft, in 10 teamers, he's becoming somebody you're benching. I will not drop Hira yet. I think it's too early to do that. And this is a guy, I'm someone who's openly fading him. I'm openly out on Hira, but he will catch heat. He does. Hira does go hot and cold because of these swing and miss tendencies. But when he's hitting, the ball flies. When he's hitting, he does well. So Hira will catch a hot streak, but will he be on your bench when he does it? That might be the problem. So Kisten Hira is another guy that, similar to Suarez, where the swing and miss is there, you got to be mindful of that and just keep an eye on how pitchers will keep attacking him. Keep an eye on, can he adjust? Because if he can adjust, things will get better. But we're looking at a track record. Now it's becoming a track record of swing and miss in the game. Pitchers being able to exploit his weaknesses and Hira not making those adjustments. So for that reason, again, another guy that I'm out on, not actively going out and trading for unless I can buy super low. And even then, even if I do acquire Kisten Hira in a trade, I'm not starting him right now. You can't. He is somebody you just got to sit on your bench until he gets going. The problem is Hira's probably going to get going on a Monday and on a Friday. And if you're in a weekly league, you're not going to be able to get him for those for those starts. That's just the way it works with Hira. But we'll see. Again, a guy that I'm not out on long term, I want to stress that. But short term, I have my concerns and I am completely out on him in terms of, like, I've been out on him for this season because I just think that 2021 was too early of a turnaround for him to correct these issues he's shown since coming into the league. The last guy here won't be as in-depth, more of a I'm watching it, keep my eye on the situation, is Eric Hosmer, because Hosmer is actually hitting very well. 315 batting average, 374 OBP with a 472 slug. So Hosmer is, you know, that's 846 OPS. Hosmer's been solid. 2 stolen bases, 3 home runs. What am I complaining about? What am I watching? Well, that's what we're here to talk about, because we're talking about 347 BABIP. Oh, but Mike, that sounds reasonable. Not for a guy who has a 315 career BABIP. So right there, he's somebody on the other end that the BABIP luck for Hosmer has been a little more than we should expect. All right, cool. But maybe there's more to it. Maybe he's doing a little bit different stuff to his profile. Not really. He is pulling the ball a little more. That should help his power, you would think, right? But only 3 home runs. Well, he has a 61.3% ground ball rate. That is the issue. So that's where the BABIP is going to take a hit. That's where the batting average is going to fall. Because if he's hitting 61.3% ground balls, that's the highest since 2018. And in 2018, when he had a 60.4% ground ball rate, he hit just 253 with a 302 BABIP. He still had 18 home runs and 7 stolen bases, and he still can do something like that this year. Hosmer is not a bad player, but he's overperforming, and that's what I want to bring to your attention. His max exit velocity is down two miles per hour in a year where everyone's is up. His average launch angle is negative 2.1. Yes, negative 2.1. I had someone point out to me that, you know, it's still early and a few batted balls, you know, he's being pounded low in the zone. So I looked, and it's early, but he's being pitched mostly bottom of the zone is what I was told, right? His launch angles bottom of the zone are negative, as well as, but last year they were positive. And usually when you're trying to lift the ball more, a ball low in the zone, you would think is easier to get that loft on. So it looks like he might have gone back to his line draw, his ground ball ways, his less loft in his swing. And that is concerning for a guy that, again, Hosmer was showing these signs of coming around, hitting the ball more in the air last year, hitting for more power last year, really showing us that, like, oh man, he's on the up and up. But Hosmer was a guy that I even pointed out that his average launch angle was 8.7 degrees last year, but it ended on a lower end. It was actually, I think, under 6 or around 6 degrees to end last year. So it was actually trending downward as it was, and it looks like he just sustained that downward trend into 2021. So Hosmer's a guy that might be a sell high, because although I think he's going to run, he hits the ball pretty good. He hits it hard. He barrels it well. Well, actually, I lied. He's not barreling well. That's another thing. With this launch angle down, his barrel rate is a career worst 2.7% right now. Again, he's gone off to this hot start while having these issues. Now, could he be somebody that we see correct this launch angle, and now the production kind of just carries over into it? Because you're expecting regression, but if he corrects this launch angle and doesn't hit as many ground balls, gets more line drives, then there won't be a hiccup in the production. The problem is with when you're hitting ground balls over 60% of the time, there's no way in hell. There's just no way you're going to produce consistent, solid numbers, like, especially when you're not a guy with great speed. He's just not a fast person. So you have a slow runner with a guy who's putting the ball on the ground 60% of the time and pulling the ball more. That's going to turn into a lot of outs. He's not going to beat out weekly hit ground balls. He's not going to beat out many ground balls in general. There's just a lot that needs to be addressed here. Otherwise, we're going to see batting average regression and other stuff. The power won't come. And that's concerning. That's an issue, because take away the power, the stolen bases are nice. Like, he's still going to steal bases because that team likes to run. But Hosmer's a guy that there's just a few red flags there to either sell high. Or maybe, I mean, obviously riding it out is fine. Maybe Hosmer, like I said, maybe the correction comes where there won't be a hiccup in production. But Hosmer's a guy that right now I don't see a sustainability in the production given the way he's coming up with the production in terms of like that really, in terms of that really high ground ball rate, the line drive rate being about league average, and fly balls being low. Like, the power's not going to come, and the batting average will drop because the BABIP is being over. He's overproducing a BABIP. So Hosmer's a guy that I'm just concerned about. I mean, I have him on a couple of teams. I'm just holding tight because I think he's a good enough hitter to overcome these struggles. And he's the only one of these three that I've mentioned that I'm not overly concerned about one way or another. So that's Eric Hosmer. Again, he was a little quicker because he has less red flags, so to speak, but still a guy that I think is just overperforming right now and just needs to be, you just need to be aware of said overperformance. So that's going to do it. I hope you like this podcast, this idea. These are going to be coming at you. I'm trying to do 5 a week because these are very short, simple, and to the point podcasts. So today we talked about Eugenio Suarez, Keston Hira, and Eric Hosmer. Again, appreciate you guys listening and following. 5-star rating and review on your way out is greatly appreciated. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mike_Kurland. And stick with us. We're going to be doing a lot more of these. So again, and I appreciate everything. Appreciate the support. And we will talk soon.